Our first reading is from the prophet Isaiah. If you want to read along, you can find the reading on page 623 in your pew Bibles. It's the 35th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Thank you. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. Our God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. God will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean will not travel on it, but it shall be for all God's people. No traveler, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of our God shall return. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Good morning. So our gospel reading today, which I'll preach on primarily, is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And you can find that on page 67 in your pew Bible. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and he saw him. He passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is holy wisdom, holy word. So I returned a little over a week ago from the border, and it was an incredible, life-changing experience. I met with all sorts of people, community organizers, academics, activists, migrants, border patrol agents. A story is a powerful thing, and everyone I met had one. There's one story in particular that I would like to tell you. It's Yaseline's story. Yaseline was a 14-year-old girl. All things considered, she was a normal teenager. She was from El Salvador. Her mother and father went on ahead and crossed into the United States. They jumped the fence, as they say. Their situation in El Salvador was pretty desperate. It was very dire for them, so they took a risk. Her parents established themselves in the United States, working and sending money back to El Salvador. And so young Yaseline was charged with the care of her 10-year-old brother while her parents worked in the United States. When the time came, their parents paid for a coyote, a smuggler, to take them across, to jump the fence, and reunite as a family in California. Now, smugglers typically know the best routes to avoid detection by Border Patrol. But these routes are often through the most dangerous and uninhabited areas of the desert. Any migrant on these routes is far from help. Navigating the difficult and dangerous terrain, the two children, the smuggler and the other migrants, they set off for the U.S. on a 2,000-mile trek from El Salvador. Along the way, after crossing into the Sonora Desert of Arizona, Yaseline became violently ill, perhaps from dehydration and exhaustion. She could not keep up with the smuggler's pace. They had to keep going, but Yaseline could not. Her little brother cried and cried, but Yaseline begged him, "Tú tienes que seguir a donde está mamá." You have to keep going and get to mom. The smuggler dragged the little boy away and left 14-year-old Yaseline alone in the desert. You have to keep going and get to mom. Her brother did reach their mother in California, and a search party was sent out looking for Yaseline. Volunteers from an organization called the Samaritans were putting water out in the desert for migrants when they came across the body of 14-year-old Yaseline with her bright green sneakers, alone in the desert near an Arizona town called Aravaca, sometime in January 2010. There's an author who, and a journalist who wrote a story on this experience of Yaseline. His name's Frank Clifford, and he writes, "It is tempting to think that such a death is relatively painless, but dying of exposure isn't a matter of fading dreamily into a coma. Death by cold typically advances slowly, from violent shivering to loss of motor skills. Victims become disoriented and often lose the ability to act rationally. With nighttime temperatures hovering around freezing, Yaseline had taken off her shoes and both of the jackets she had been wearing. Once the body temperature approaches 90 degrees, the shivering may become convulsive, seizure-like. As the body temperature continues to drop, the victim loses consciousness. Breathing becomes irregular, signaling the onset of pulmonary edema and ultimately respiratory and cardiac failure." Yaseline died alone, a very painful and tragic death, all to reach new life in the United States, to to reunite with her family and with those whom she loved. The fact is, hundreds of migrants die every year in the desert attempting to reach the United States. They jump the fence, fleeing lives of extreme poverty and violence in their homelands, and take a chance in the desolate desert of the US. Some, ones like Yaseline, don't make it, succumbing to the elements or dying from injury. Those who do make it are often caught by Border Patrol, placed in detention for months, sometimes years, in private prisons, in horrid conditions. If the migrant is lucky, they'll be picked up by a compassionate Border Patrol agent, if they're lucky. Border Patrol has a reputation of cutting open jugs of water volunteers leave in the desert for migrants, letting the water flow out of the and leaving the empty jugs for thirsty migrants who come along. I walk some of this same trail as Yaseline on my journey to the border, climbing walls of rocks and trudging through thorny bushes and climbing and losing my footing on unstable ground. I absolutely struggled. Admittedly, it was difficult for me, and I was with a group, with fellow peacemakers. I could not imagine doing it alone, and I could not imagine doing it in the dark, as so many do. We arrived at a shrine and heard Yaseline's story from a volunteer with the Samaritans. The silence in prayer, remembering this young child, was absolutely overwhelming. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Yaseline. The bodies of approximately 7,000 people have been recovered in the last 17 years on the U.S. side of the desert. People like Yaseline crossing the border looking for something better. And then there are those who are missing, those who will never be recovered because of animals or because of the desolation of the desert, or because those people did actually survive the crossing, but then they were trafficked through the drug cartels down there. Why are so many people literally dying to get into the United States? The border fence did not always exist. It was constructed in 1994 by the Clinton administration following NAFTA, correctly believing that streams of people would migrate to the US to flee collapsing economies in the global south. Since 1994, the border fence has been expanded and upgraded and now includes high-tech cameras, motion sensors, and drones. The border fence has not stopped migration, though, but instead it has increased the deaths of people jumping the fence. The construction of the fence has essentially funneled migrants into the most dangerous areas of the desert. And this was the point, after all. Prevention through deterrence is the official U.S. policy. The United States is using God's land against God's people, and they are dying in droves. Migrants are in a battle with the forces of death and darkness in this world. When they cross, they are saying no to those forces, and they are saying yes to hope, yes to something better, and they are willing to give their lives for it. The following quote I'd like to read you is from Henry Nouwen, and I'd like you to just take this in as it is. "And yet you are Christian only so long as you look forward to a new world, only so long as you constantly pose critical questions to the society in which you live, and only for so long as you emphasize the need for conversion, both for yourself and for the world. You are Christian only so long as you, in no way, letting yourself become established in a situation of seeming calm, only so long as you stay unsatisfied with the status quo and keep saying that a new world is yet to come. You are Christian only when you believe that you have a role to play in the realization of this new kingdom, and when you urge everyone you meet with a holy unrest to make haste so that the promise might soon be fulfilled. So long as you live as a Christian, you keep looking for new order, new structure, new life. Amen? It is guaranteed that far more people will die in the desert if Trump has his way with building a bigger, longer border wall. More people will die as migrants are continually funneled into dangerous areas of the border. We are already seeing increased deportations. Trump is keeping his promises. As a Christian, will you keep yours? You can do everything right. You can follow all the rules. You can sign petitions, go to rallies, hold signs and banners. You can call elected officials. You can talk with one another about the issues, and these are all great things to do. But at the end of the day, have you loved your neighbor? This all means nothing if you have not loved your neighbor. To love your neighbor is not some abstract idea. It is to risk oneself, much like how the Good Samaritan risked their safety in picking up an injured person on a dangerous road and bringing them to sanctuary. As most of you know, the history of this very congregation is that of sanctuary, providing refuge to two Salvadoran migrants back in the 1980s. Might we be ready to do that again? What is your role? What can you do today to help make God's kingdom a reality? What can we do as a church? Neighbors very close to you and I here in Philadelphia need our solidarity and our witness to the love of Christ. There are undocumented people living in this city in fear because immigration raids can happen at any time, and indeed they are. Personally, I've signed up with New Sanctuary Movement's Sanctuary in the Streets, and I would encourage you to do the same if you haven't yet. And as many of you know, our church is a member congregation. And I believe that if we all were to become more involved in the work of New Sanctuary Movement with some holy unrest, we can make a real impact here in Philadelphia. So, let's reword the story Jesus tells us today. A young girl was traveling from El Salvador to Los Angeles when she fell ill in the desert, and the people she was with left her for dead. A Christian was walking the same trail and came across the sick girl and crossed to the other side, avoiding the girl's body. The Christian continued on their way. Then an American came across the girl, and frightened by the immigrant, the American built a higher wall and walked away. But then a Good Samaritan came along and saw the girl, ill and struggling on the trail. The Samaritan gave the girl water and carried her into town, giving her sanctuary. Which of these three was a neighbor to the young girl? The one who offered sanctuary. Go and do likewise. Amen.